Good to have you here this evening, and I'm glad you've come out. We're kind of in between studies here, and we're getting started and kind of just doing a little bit of a highlight of RU and some of the principles that we memorize and learn. And so Brother Currington is the one who founded the program and has really kind of put together out of his own experience and his own walk with the Lord different things that were very helpful to him. So these things are beneficial for us to hear, and he's a good preacher. And so we're going to go ahead and see if I can turn this thing on. Principle number one.
Says if God's against it, so am I. If God is against it, so am I. If you or I or ever going to have any success whatsoever in our Christian life, we're going to have to come to the conclusion that if God is against something, we are as well. In the Bible, God contrasts certain things that are right from certain things that are wrong. In the book of Galatians, chapter 5, God uses one of these contrasts to define what he calls the lusts of the flesh. The lusts of the flesh are simply the desires, that's what the word lust means, the desires of your flesh. Your flesh is when your soul wants to lead your body. We've all been made up of three parts. We're a trichotomy, if you will. If you're a Christian today, you have a living spirit, and you have a soul, and you have a body. God's design is for your spirit to communicate to your soul the things of God. You see, we worship God in our spirit. The Bible says they that worship God must worship him in spirit and in truth. So God in heaven will communicate to your spirit. Your spirit will communicate to your soul. Your soul will communicate to your body, and your body will then carry forth God's will for your life. That's God's design for mankind. And the lusts of the flesh is the desire of your soul to rebel against the Spirit of God and to instead lead your body in a direction that it would like to go. Your soul is made up of your mind, will, and emotions. So the simple truth is that what we think, what we feel, and what we want to do is what we will do when we are underneath our own control. And the Bible contrasts those desires of your soul with what the Bible calls in Galatians chapter number 5, the fruits of the Spirit. The word fruit is an old English word for the modern English word result or outcome. So it's literally saying the fruit of the Spirit is the outcome or result of your soul yielding instead to your spirit. So you can yield to the Spirit that lives within you, God's Spirit, if you're a Christian today, and you can overcome life's adversities, or you can do things that you want to do, and in which case you will yield to the lust and the desires of your flesh, and you will struggle with things in the world. You see, this is a list of proper behavior. This is how God acts, the fruit of the Spirit, and a list of improper behavior. This is how man acts. And in Galatians, God contrasts these right behaviors from these wrong behaviors. And if I'm ever going to have any success whatsoever in my efforts to experience freedom in life, I'm going to have to come to the conclusion that if God tells me something's wrong, it's wrong. If God's against it, so am I. 2 Timothy chapter number 3, verse 16. The Bible says, all scripture, all means, all of it, all that it means. It says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. That means God inspired. It literally means that God breathed into the heart of mankind. So he says, all scripture is given by God and is profitable, which means its main use or its purpose is for doctrine. That word doctrine means what is right. He says, all scripture is here to tell you what is right. It goes on to say that it is for reproof. That is what is not right. It is for correction. That is how to get right. And it is for instruction in righteousness. That is how to stay right. So 2 Timothy 3:16 is reminding us that all scripture is given by God and is intended to tell us what God thinks is right, what God thinks is not right, what God wants us to do in order to get right, and how God intends for us to stay right. This is the purpose of scripture.
time in God's word, he will show you what is right. And we can take steps of action to get in line with what is right. He will show us what is not right. And we can take steps of action to get in line with what is not right. He will show us how to get right. We can take steps of action on how to get right. And he will show us how to stay right. And we can make sure we're taking the necessary steps of action to stay right. When I first found or began my flight for freedom, I made the conclusion that if God was going to show me that something was wrong, then it was going to be wrong to me as well, and that I would not do it. I remember when I first came into the church, like I said just a moment ago, I was up and down, so to speak, and I was trying to stay sober, but struggling during the weekdays and trying to sober up so that I could go to church on the weekends. And it was a miserable existence in my life, and God was beginning to show me that my addictions were wrong, and I knew that I had to get off drugs, but I didn't realize that I had to get rid of all of my friends. And I remember the first time that God showed me that, I came to the conclusion, God's against this. And I must be too. I was actually in my bed, going to sleep at about 9 o'clock on a weekday when a buddy of mine came over. He actually knew how to get into my house. He came right into my bedroom, woke me up and said, "Hey, Steve, let's go to such and such." And he listed the name of a bar where we often bought drugs. By this time, it was, like I said, 9 o'clock at night. I thought, there's no way I'm going to do that. And he talked me in to getting up and going out to that bar. It was a Wednesday night. I'd barely been home from church in those early days for more than an hour. And here I was driving to a bar. But as I drove to that bar, I became overwhelmed. God is against this. You have to be as well. And when I got halfway to that bar, I was at the fire station. I still remember that. I took a left at the fire station, turned around and looked over my friend, and I said, "I'm sorry. I'll have to take you home. I can't do this." He was shocked. I dare say he was even impressed. And I took him home, and I never spent time with that individual again. Why? Because God was against what that individual wanted me to do. God had revealed to me that he was against something. You see, cultural standards in society change. However, God's standard of morality, it never changes. In the 40s and 50s, teenage pregnancy was unheard of. Abortion was never heard of. But today, things are commonplace. Why? Because cultural standards get better and cultural standards get worse. I mean, even today, our society is probably not as bad, as decrepit, as the society of Sodom and Gomorrah. I am sure that as a society, we are not worse than the society that God destroyed in a worldwide flood, saving nothing more than the righteous remnant of Noah and his family. Why is that true? Because God's against certain things, and God's standards will never change, even though standards of morality will change. We do not use those standards of morality in society. We look to the Word of God, and we accept what God says is right, what God says is not right, what God says we have to do to get right, and what God says we have to do to stay right. If you'll come to those conclusions that if God's against it, so are you. You're going to find freedom in your life. Deuteronomy 12:32, the Bible says, "Whatsoever thing I command you, observe to do it. Thou shalt not add thereto, and thou shalt not diminish from it." You should not add to what God says with extra rules and extra regulations that are intended to bind your spiritual freedom, but at the same time, you're not supposed to subtract rules and regulations that God has clearly outlined in the Word of God that establishes you with boundaries that provide you with freedom. At first, your problem may be drugs, but you seldom drink. So you come to God looking to get help with the drugs, but eventually he convicts you and tells you to stop your drinking. The same may be true with overeating or immoral thinking or smoking or some of the other things that may bring you here, pornography maybe, but over a course of time, you will see that God will begin to work on your greed. God will begin to work on your possession-centeredness. God will begin to work on your pride. God will begin to work on your critical spirits. God will begin to work on your gossiping. God will begin to work on your lying. God will begin to work on your pessimism. As you begin to grow spiritually, God will show you other things he's against, and you can conclude the same. You see, the Word of God has got standard for right and wrong. It's not what we think. It's not what we want. It's not what we feel that makes something right or something wrong. It's what God thinks. It's what God wants. It's what God feels that makes something right and wrong. And those rules are found in the Bible. Oh, please reject bondage by embracing God's boundaries for freedom. The truth is, every time you overcome an obstacle in your life, God is going to ask you to climb over another one. You see, God wants everyone to accept Christ. He wants everyone to allow Christ to live his life through him. This is the Christian life. He will do this as he uses his spirit to live within the spirit of our inner man. He will use the word to stimulate conviction in our spirit. That's one third of the role of the spirit. The spirit will convict you. You will use your spirit for worship, and you will experience intuition in your spirit or intuitive leadings from the Holy Spirit, because that consciousness is brought to remembrance of things that you do wrong. God will use that to open up as you reject what you've done wrong and accept God's conviction and reject what you have done and repent of it. God will open up valuable lines of worship that will strengthen your intuition. And when he strengthens that intuition, you can be sure that God will begin to show you what is right, what is not right, how to get right, and how to stay right. And you can conclude, like I have concluded, that if God's against it, so am I. That's principle number one.
That is a good reminder, and I think it's really is a great, I'm glad that that's principle number one as he's looking at this, because it really is a starting place for transformation and allowing God to work. Now, obviously, we're assuming a lot of things. We're assuming that someone has a relationship with Jesus Christ, and that element of salvation is first. But for us as believers, how are we going to grow? The very first thing that God wants to add to our faith in 2 Peter is virtue. And that virtue is a commitment to the Lord. It's a commitment to follow him. So to be transformed, the very first thing that must come is a loyalty to God. And so it's not just simply agreeing with God about things. That's part of it. But it comes with a sense that says, I love this person. So I don't know what he's against. I don't know everything he's for. But whatever he's against, I know that I've got to be against it too. And whatever he's for, I've got to be for. Now, how is it that we come to that understanding of what God is against? All right, we've got his word. Very good. So you've got the word of God. Now, there are some people that read God's word and don't get anything out of it. So what else do you need to know what God's against? You need God's word. That's the foundation. The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit convicts. And he talked about the conscience, and he ended up using that word at the very end, conviction. When God, the Holy Spirit, puts his finger, because when he's convicting us, he's taking the word of God that says, thou shalt not bear false witness. And when you said that, he said, that was a lie. And you're like, oh, yeah, not really. it was sort of true. And he says, I'm against it. And that's when the wrestle comes in, when God, the Holy Spirit, puts his finger on something in our lives and begins to press and press and press upon us. I'm against this. The only way we're going to grow is if we'll just say, I agree with you, God. I must be against it too. And turn our lives in conformity to him. Because really, this really is built off the foundation that all that God tells us to do is a reflection of who he is. So everything that's against the law of God is against the person of God. And to reject the character of God is to reject the person of God. And really, we cannot enjoy fellowship because we fall short of that wonderful glory that God has for us. So this is a great foundational principle that we, and I think there's an element that one other thing I wanted to say before we finish here is I believe that the commitment and the loyalty to Christ comes first before the knowledge of what's right and wrong. I mean, he will convict you. But many times there are things in our lives that God will not say. He does not bring to our mind because we have a fundamental resistance against him. And he wants us to come to a place where we say, Lord, you can have anything. Now we're not going, oh, please don't tell me anything. Don't touch my life. If we have that mentality, protect ourselves, that's not loyalty to Christ. That's not a love for him that says, God, whatever you want, whatever you're against, I'm against it. I trust you. I love you. And that ultimately, I think that spirit has to come first before the floodgates really begin to open up. And then God says, how about this? How about this? And we begin to make changes by the Spirit in our lives. So I think it's reflected in the Psalms. I think Psalm 119 is a great exposition of the heart of Christ, but also the heart of a believer. And he says in there, I will keep thy statutes. There's this aspect that you understand that a fundamental commitment to the Lord is necessary. But the very next words he said is, oh, forsake me not utterly. I can't do this apart from you. I need your strength. And over again, there's the prayers and the pleas through Psalm 119. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. And that must be our prayer, that we have a commitment to the Lord, but also dependence upon him at the same time. All right, this has been encouraging.